All right. Welcome again to another episode of the Nurse Empowerment and Leadership Podcast. This is a podcast where we feature and highlight amazing healthcare leaders, nurses, nurse executives, nurse entrepreneurs who are doing amazing work in their communities as well as in their organization. On this episode, we have Dr. Sylvia Abbey-Quay, and she's going to be talking to us about all about long-term care space in the healthcare industry, the long-term care space. She is a consultant. She's a nurse mentor. She's a nurse leader, and I'm so excited to talk with her today. I learned so much from her just speaking with her a few days ago. So, Dr. Sylvia, are you ready? Welcome again to another episode of the Nurse Empowerment and Leadership Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
What are you doing? No, it's recording. So, listen, I wanted to share with our audience a little bit about yourself. I've actually told them that you're a nurse leader, a nurse consultant, a mentor, a coach, and everything. So just introduce yourself to the people.
Yes. So I started off as a, thank you for the introduction. So I started off as a biochemist. Before I came to the United States in 1999, I went to the University of Science and Technology, and I got my degree in biochemistry before coming to the United States. Whilst here, I pursued my master's in public administration. And whilst I was doing that, I was working at night as a certified nurse assistant. And that is where my passion for nursing actually started. So right after my graduate school, I enrolled into a second bachelor's nursing program to obtain my bachelor's in nursing. And since then, I worked, started off in rehab nursing, worked mostly on TBI and stroke units. And then as I started having children, I wanted something more flexible, and I transitioned into long-term care practice. After about 10 years of working direct care on the floor, I decided to go back and get my PhD in nursing, which I did. And since then, I have been working as an assistant professor of nursing at the Mass College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. I also do adjunct roles at the where I teach PhD cohorts at the Endicott College and also at the College of Elms, which is in Springfield, Massachusetts. So I do all of that. And also, what is key is that I'm also an entrepreneur, as you rightly had said. And I started as part of my passion work. I started a nurse education consultancy program for long-term care nurses called the NSD Expert Education and Consultancy Services. Also, it's something that I currently do. I go into facilities. I train facilities on if they have any gaps in training or if they are actually non-compliant. I'm called in and I offer trainings to get them back to and empower them to get them back to practice safely. Wow. That is also what I do. And finally, I just authored 2 books this summer, and I just came out, Navigating Long-Term Care, A Practical Approach for Nurses. And it's accompanying reflective workbook. And so just a few of the things I do.
That's amazing. By the way, congratulations on becoming an author. And I'm going to be talking to you about those books later on. You want to hear more about them. So our audience and our nurses can probably go on Amazon and get them. So listening to you, you seem so passionate about this entire healthcare industry. So much. You're wearing so many hats, and they are so vital. And that means you are impacting lives. You are making such a difference. Where do you get that? Did you get that drive from? The drive for this passion for healthcare and for nursing and for people, I should say. Where is that passion coming from?
If you've worked in long-term care for that long and you don't get passionate about it, then you probably are not in the right room. So my experiences, I wanted to get to a point where I could have a voice and make change. Because I would say that my experiences had really informed me I had been an eye-opener. So just think of this. I had been a long-term care nurse, like I told you, for all my career. I go into the role of a DO and I realize I didn't know anything.
Yes.
And I asked myself, why? Why is that? So that was one. And then two, and when I say I don't know anything, it means that I don't know anything regulatory. I'm always in service. I'm asked to sign things. Constantly, I don't miss any meetings or any the little that they offer. Mm-hmm. So I asked myself, there must be something wrong with this. And then what even made it even worse for me or made me even more passionate and took this on like a mission was an incident that happened 3 days into my role as DON. I've said this story multiple times on many platforms, and that was a wake-up call for me. And and the experiences my staff had to go through, because there was an unfortunate incident where we lost a resident because of a resident-to-resident altercation. Mm. The incident itself was never conclusive as to whether that hit was what caused it. But they looked at how the nurses were practicing, and the nurses' notes that they had written was all implicating. And a lot of things that they didn't do it out of a bad place. Like they genuinely had a good heart, had good intentions. Their notes was misread. You know, there were so many things that it was scary.
Yes.
And even when the incident happened and we called them in and we're talking to them, I could tell that they really did not know the implications of their practices. Yeah. And I was like, no. It's time for us to empower them. Yes. It's time for us to let them appreciate, because a lot of these things are not taught in school.
Mm.
No.
Yes, they're not definitely. Taught in
school. No. So you come in thinking you're coming in because it's more acute care focused. You come in. We talk about legal implications of our licenses, the board, all of that. Mm-hmm. We talk about it in school. But when you come into long-term care, it's a different ballgame.
Right, right.
And that's with little orientation, little training, it just broke my heart.
And people take it for granted too, right? They take long-term care for granted that you can just walk in it without any training and without any education and wing your way around. And it's not so. It's not so at all, right?
It's not so. And this is why we currently have, there's nursing shortage everywhere.
Absolutely.
But the shortage in long-term care currently, it's on a different level.
Wow.
And it's because of the years. You know, people wanted a way out for years. And now that agencies have sprung up and now they're offering, now it's the time for them to sneak out.
Yeah.
And again, it's because you've worked under such conditions for so long that when you get any opportunity to exit, you take it.
Yes,
and so it is time for us to reevaluate and relook at long-term care in a different light post-COVID and put things in place so that we can attract the best and attract and retain them so that they will find long-term care as a career path that they can grow. Because I would attest that my career in long-term care has been very, very, very successful. And you can be successful in long-term care. You just have to know how to work within that environment.
Yeah. What if someone out there listening, families are watching this video and they want to understand, what is long-term care then? What kind of patients do I place in a long-term care? And educate them for me on that aspect.
So long-term care, we offer a variety. It's more community-based type nursing. We offer a variety of services and supports that is designed for individuals who have disabilities, individuals who are aging, individuals who want short stay rehabilitation. Okay. When we talk about long-term care, it encompasses a lot of different things. So we have the skilled care centers, which is the skilled rehab centers. We have your traditional nursing home where you come in with aged. We have, I'll say, home care falls under that umbrella. Group homes or residential care facilities fall under that umbrella. Assisted living facilities also fall under this umbrella. So long-term care is not one thing. It's a lot of services, supports and services that is provided in the community setting.
Yeah.
Hospice also, if I should add, adult day health, if you've heard of that, these are all considered long-term. And as in the past, historically, when long-term care started, it was mostly you'd see people who were using long-term care as who stay there for their forever homes, where family members really busy with work, and therefore they needed to have a safe place to have their loved ones so that they could be taken care of in terms of their medication, administration, and all of that, the activities of daily living and all of that to be adhered to. But now things have changed, especially when it comes to acute. The hospital stay is very short now, and most people tend to come to skilled care facilities to continue with their rehabilitation before they transition back home. And guess what? It all falls under our umbrella. So it's not uncommon to find a nursing home which has beds that are both skilled and long-term. So some of them have different units where they have subacute, but many of them also often say that they have all their beds are skilled beds. So you can have a skilled patients mixed in with long-term care patients. So that nurse that takes care of them should be ready to be able to really transition and take care of these different populations. And so that is really what long-term, when we talk about long-term care, that is what we talk about.
Oh, great. So what kind of training the nurses need coming from, say, an acute care setting? Say a nurse graduate from nursing school and start their career in the acute setting, critical care, ICU, ER, whatever. And then eventually they said, you know what, this is not for me. Maybe I should try long-term care. What kind of education would they need to get into the education in the field?
So when it comes to clinical skills itself, they are transferable because, again, IV, putting in an IV is the same. Although the frail elder, we have to consider a lot of things. Their veins are not, they're always often dehydrated. It's very difficult to find their veins and things like that. You need skill to do that. So I really think that a nurse who has been acute care for so long would have the scope to be able to do those kind of things. That is besides the point. What is missing or what they need is the understanding of practice within that regulatory system, because how you document, how you do things are totally different, and the workload that you have is different. So in acute care setting, usually you would have on a med surg, you probably have 5 to 6 patients, even in ICU, probably 2. In, you know, it's so limited. In long-term care, a minimum of 25 on a 7 to 3 shift is what you're expecting to get.
Yeah.
You are supposed to, these are patients that have different disease processes and different care plans, and you are supposed to be able to provide care within a set time. You should have high organizational skills. When I say high organizational skills, you should be able to prioritize your tasks such that you'll be able to work within the time frame you have, because we have an hour plus or minus to pass medications. And so sometimes if you are new, what happens is that you might not even finish your morning med pass, and then it's time for the lunch med pass and you still haven't even done it. So med error is going to be something that you are going to stress about.
Yes.
Not to mention the treatments you have to do and also the paperwork that you have to do. And also the fact that you, the nurse, are it. You have to practice with a lot of autonomy. You have to have very strong assessment skills to be able to identify changes in condition so that you can inform the practitioners on time so that they can deliver good care.
Because the physicians are not readily there, right?
No, they are not. So we have them assigned, medical directors, and we have physicians that are, or nurse practitioners that are assigned to a building. Now, I would say that some buildings currently, if they have very high skilled residents, say they have a very robust subacute where they have a lot of complex cases, they have now started to station a nurse practitioner, say, on that unit during the day. So you could have facilities who provide nurse practitioner services for their subacute section, right? So they do that. So that is one of the skills, one of the tasks that they do.
Specific to long-term care.
Specific to long-term care.
These nurses then, because, you know, long-term care can, it is so different. And of course, you know, you walk in there and the environment can be pretty daunting, can be sad, you know, different things happening in the long-term, in the long-term care space. How do you motivate the nurses to, and retain them then? More, you know, so you don't want nurses to be resigning, quitting on you. How do you retain these nurses in the long-term care space?
So I have a community integration model that I It's been my guiding principle. So sometimes I would want to say this to your audience. It's not about the money that is offered them. It is about the conditions of service or the conditions of the environment and the warmth that the facility brings that will make a nurse want to stay or leave, right? When a nurse is coming through your door, that nurse that you see sitting out there has different needs. They come in, some of them are fearful because they've heard so much about long-term care. Some of them are excited. It's a new role for them. Some of them are apprehensive. They have anxiety and all of that. The question is, how do you, as a facility, be able to meet these needs of these patients, or I mean, this staff as they walk into your door? What supports, what programs do you have for them? The orientation is where we lack. You barely get oriented in long-term care. You normally would go through a one-day general orientation where they just go through their policies and procedures, and then there's a set regulatory things they have to go through, sexual harassment, abuse, dementia training. Those are things that every facility would offer you because it's a regulatory requirement. Aside that, they don't take time to orient you to your work environment. And they assume that once you're a nurse and you've walked in, you have the skill to pass medication, right? But you know, and I know that if you're coming from an acute care setting to a long-term care setting where you've had 5 patients, although they're acutely sick, it's different from offering you 25 patients. And out of the 25 patients, even 2 or 3 of them are acutely sick or more, that throws you right off. Yeah. And our med passes are heavy. We can have patients who are on 10, 15 medications per one patient. So you're talking about sometimes 300 meds on a pass, right? That is a skill that you need to know. So you can't just throw that nurse that walks into the door because they have the RN license to the car. So yes, they can do the 5 rights or 10 rights, whatever rights that is currently being done. They can do all of that.
It is a specialty.
And that is what I want your audience to take from this, that the long-term care industry should start offering intense training programs to orient nurses and also create environment for social integration where individuals that come in also would have time to bond among themselves, to form teams, to do team building activities at orientation so that we can rely on each other for support because we need that.
Yes.
We need programs where they have to encourage mentorship. Currently, what they do is once you finish that 1 day or 2 day orientation, you are sent to the floor to shadow a nurse. And the nurse is so busy that sometimes you come off as a nuisance.
Not enough training, not enough orientation. Yeah.
And so before you know it, sometimes even you come on and it's short. I have been at one facility. I walked in the next day. They were short of a nurse and they asked me to take the card. I had no orientation whatsoever. Yeah. And knowing the patient's preference, whether they have to crash their meds, it takes time to know them. And so you fall behind. And if you don't take care, you're not coming back to that facility again.
Absolutely. And you can make errors, medication errors, so easily if you don't understand that kind of medication, the environment, it can be very, very difficult. And another thing, you know, sometimes you have nurses that are maybe tired of the long-term care facility, not the long-term, the acute care facility. And they think they can go to the long-term care facility just to retire. It doesn't work like that either. Mm-hmm. It is a specialty, and I want people to understand that. Just like ICU is a specialty, ER is a specialty, long-term care is a specialty. I want to ask you is this, what are some of the things that a patient, family member should be looking for to assess whether or not this is a great long-term care facility? Because, you know, you have a lot of, you know, non-nursing personnel will be watching this video. And I want them to understand, if I have my loved one, my family member in the long-term care facility, what should I be looking for? How do I choose a long-term care facility then?
So I would say that you have to get yourself informed. Okay. So CMS has a website, Nursing Home Compare, where you can go and actually look up a facility and look at their quality star ratings, their staffing ratios, and that's a good place to start off. But having said that, I also want you to understand that those star ratings are great, but also sometimes they don't really reflect the care that we offer our patients or our residents in the facility when you come down. So it's also very imperative that you take a tour of the facility and go in and look around and see for yourself and ask questions. Yes. I want you to talk to the nurses if you walk in there, not only to the administration. I want you to talk to the nurses because they will give you information that you need to make an informed decision. If you can talk to family members, that is great. They will share their experiences with you. You can take a tour of the building. You just like you're choosing a college for your kid, you wouldn't just let them go, right? You want to find out more. Go on their website, you want to go read, you want to do all of that. So if I am taking my loved one into a facility, that's what I would do. But having said that, I want you also to know that the star ratings are great, but again, I want to emphasize, they don't give you the whole picture. So say, for example, your patient, your loved one has a mental health disorder and you're looking for a 9 psychiatric facility to put them in. Oftentimes, it's rare that you find a psychiatric facility that has a 5-star ratings, and not because they don't offer great care there. No, the parameters that we are being asked or being graded on really doesn't support or doesn't help us psych facilities as much. We always score lower because of the type of population we have, because they are bound to have resident-to-resident altercations. They are very impulsive and all of that, right? So it will come off as very poor ratings. But if you walk into such a facility, you would see the type of care that the nurses are providing them, right? So those are some of the things that would impact the star ratings. So I always urge you, use that as your initial framework, but walk into a facility and observe and ask questions and make an informed decision.
Yes.
Your loved one, 90% of the time, is going to get excellent care.
Wow. Awesome. Dr. Sylvia, give us one moment. We have to take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsor.
Exceptional Staffing and Training Solutions. As the leading staffing company in Florida, Brilliant Healthcare Recruitment and Staffing Incorporated provides the best cutting-edge solutions for healthcare organizations. We help healthcare organizations connect with qualified, caring, and compassionate nurses. We are committed to preparing future practitioners for a successful healthcare career. Service, caring, and leadership, this is what Brilliant Healthcare Recruitment and Staffing Incorporated is all about. Aside from our staffing services, we also provide training for healthcare professionals. We provide training in CPR and first aid, basic life support, advanced cardiac life support, pediatrics advanced life support, and the NPSG, the Joint Commission. We assist them in broadening their expertise in patient experience, quality measures in healthcare, value-based purchasing, bedside rounding, and healthcare communication. Don't hesitate to contact us at 1-866-861-5288.
Okay, great. So welcome back, Dr. Sylvia. And I'm so grateful that you are raising awareness about long-term care facilities and the impact that you are making there. But we have 2 minutes to go, and I want you to share with the audience exactly if a nurse or a nurse leader would like to work in a long-term care facility as far as education is concerned. What are the steps? What should they do? Because, you know, the audience from this podcast, many of them are nurse leaders, nurse entrepreneurs, and they are looking to empower different aspects of healthcare. So what are the steps as far as getting into that facility to train, especially if they have the experience to train and to be a consultant? What should they do?
So first and foremost, they have to familiarize themselves with the regulations and that oversees long-term care. Now, what I would always encourage them to do, or that is what I do, is that it's often a good practice to go to CMS and look at the survey results And that tells you the areas or where the gaps may be. And then you can then formulate curriculum around those key areas and then approach facilities. It's public information. So in your area, you can find facilities that are struggling, facilities that have been tagged, and you can approach them as starters to see if they need any assistance. So you go in there and you offer your services to them, but you have to also make sure that your training complies with the regulations. And also long-term care nurses want to work with people who have experience in their field. Right. So that is something that you have to make sure that the regulations, you know them really good, yes, because they need to be in compliance. Right. That is their key thing, so that they can impact their star ratings and also improve residents, attract clients, residents. So this is all very important. It's all a business. Let me just say, it comes down to money. So you cannot just walk in there without knowing the recs. You need to know the recs, and you also need to know that their need. You can also walk in and introduce yourself to them and then ask them how you can help them, because many of them do need help, but they don't know where to go, who to ask. So when you go in there and you talk to them and you provide them with your services, most oftentimes they will look in your direction. Yes. And I also want to say one thing. Many of the long-term care facilities are corporate owned. So there's a chain, and they might have multiple nursing homes. So you want to, if you want to do a business with them or you want to help to train them, you have to approach the corporates at the corporate level to introduce yourself to them and then tell them what you can offer them. And then once you get accepted, then that is good. Because usually, if you just walk into a long-term care facility, the administrator might help, but might help to point you to the right place to go. But usually, the decision-making is from higher up.
Yes, absolutely. So from the CEO, the board, and all these people. If facilities out there are watching this video, and they want to consult you, how can they get in touch with you? And what service can you offer to them? How can they get a hold of you, get in touch with you as a consultant to help them to upgrade and to up-level their facility?
So visit my website, www.nsdexpert.com, or you can call my number, 508-361-8461. That is how to contact me. I fill out a form on my website, and then I'm going to follow up with a consulting call with them. What we offer is we do offer ad hoc training sessions for nurses, and we offer CEUs for them as well. We also offer training programs, orientation programs for new hires. Yes. And we are now starting a new residency long-term care program starting in January for all new nurses that want to work in long-term care. So those are the services that we currently offer.
Yes. Tell us the website again.
www.nsdexpert.com. The expert is X, there's no E. nsdexpert.com.
Okay, I can get it. But anyway, you can also contact Dr. Sylvia, you know, get a hold of her on LinkedIn or Facebook. Maybe that's just a LinkedIn. She is on LinkedIn, very, very active. Dr. Sylvia Abike, thank you so much for your time. And tell us about those two books, the names of those two books again, and where we can get the books.
So my book, Navigating Long-Term Care, a practical approach for nurses, and its reflective workbook is available on Amazon. And also you can purchase it directly through me on my website. If you want a bulk purchase, you can contact the website. If you want one copy, you can just go to Amazon and then pick up your copy. That book is the Long-Term Care Nurses Bible. It helps to shape their work processes, how to do care plans, how to do admissions, discharges, everything about long-term care. It's in there. So,
all right. I'll get the names of the book, and I'm going to place it on the caption so that people can go and get that book, because I'm sure that book has a lot of gems that they want long-term care. I will get the information. I'm going to place it in the caption. But Dr. Sylvia, thank you so much for your time. This has been an eye-opener, and you have given us all we need to know about long-term care facilities and how to work in those, in that healthcare space. Thank you for your time. And
thank you so much.
We hope to have you back on our podcast again.
I would love to.
Take care, and we'll see you again on LinkedIn or in the social media space, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. Sylvia Abike, and she is so refreshing. What an amazing interview. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of our podcast, and I want to say that thank you for your time. Thank you for watching. And with that said, if you want to get a hold of us, we are the Nurse Empowerment and Leadership.com. The Nurse Empowerment and Leadership.com.